Broadcasting from the University of Windsor, you're tuned in to 99.1 CJAM FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
This week is Canadian actor Jesse Bond. It's been quite a while since Jesse's been on the show, and he's been involved with many new things in his career. We'll talk about these things today on the show and also find out what it's like behind the scenes, on and off camera, for this Toronto-based actor. Jesse, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Big JD.
Well, you've been very busy since we last spoke. Seems like a lot of diversity is coming to play, no pun intended, but you've been in a number of plays and you've also taken on some professional voiceover work. Tell us about the voiceover work kind of to kick things off.
The voiceover work is a new dimension for me. I've been auditioning for that kind of stuff for a few years now, but got a little more serious with it over the past year, to knowing that it was something that could be a whole other avenue for me and something I wanted to get better at. And this year it kind of came together. So I did a few big campaigns. I did one for Buick, new line of Buicks that came out this year. So it was kind of a combination of a TV ad. It was some internet ads. And then I did some in-house training videos for them as well, or what they'd call, you know, industrials when they first release a new product to show their staff. Mm-hmm. So that was quite a challenge. And then after that, in the summer, I got a big campaign for a local beer around here called Creemore Beer. I don't know if you get it down there. Do you know that one?
You know what? I'm not much of a drinker, and I don't know much about alcohol at all.
Yeah, well, it's become, you know, one of the big premium brands around here. It's Creemore's a little town north of Toronto, about an hour and a half, kind of up near Collingwood and Georgian Bay area. And I hang out a lot in Creemore. I have a big connection to Creemore. I've actually shot a lot of short films up there, and I'm part of their film festival every year. Uh-huh. So it was a very nice coincidence that was the one I ended up getting, because it was a lot about the, you know, the whole hometown feel and the fact that I knew all about this town, and I felt I had a better angle on it in some ways. But that was great. That was the radio campaign. I ended up recording 4 different commercials for that, and then kind of did some updates on it recently when they re-aired it. So it's been, it's been a big learning curve on that stuff, but I feel I'm getting a handle on it, and going out for more and more auditions now, and got a little voice training in between that just to get even better.
Now let's move on to the some of the TV shows and films you've been in recently, and maybe you can tell us, you know, what you did in some of these. Let's start with the TV series Flashpoint.
Flashpoint, sure, yeah. That was a great one. That was very exciting to get. The day I heard I got that, I jumped for joy, because that's, mm-hmm. you know, that at the time was one of the big new TV shows shooting here in Canada, and also, you know, got picked up in the States, you know, so that was kind of a big deal. It was one of the first big Canadian crossover shows that was going to be seen by millions of people, much more than it would normally be seen in Canada.
Right.
In that one I played the kind of right-hand man to a cult leader, mm-hmm. of all things. And so it's about this place called The Farm, and it's a group of variations of social rejects and recovering drug addicts and all different things who go to live on this farm to clean themselves up. But in the meantime, they've become, you know, a bit of a, you know, paramilitary force, as they often do. And so it's all about the task force coming in, the special tactical unit coming in, because someone had been taken hostage on this farm. And so I, being the right-hand man to the main leader, I had a lot of involvement with, I was kind of always there, And I got some fun scenes. I got to take the main guy from the show, Hugh Dillon, who plays the lead tactical leader there. I got to take him hostage, and we had a little showdown with our guns. And in the end, I go out in a blaze of glory. I get shot down by the entire squad. So but using machine guns, and I had squibs, you know, where my chest had to blow open from the gunshots. So lots of there was stunt work, there was special effects, there was lots of exciting stuff.
For listeners, that episode actually is called The Farm. They can probably find that online.
That's right, The Farm, yeah.
Yeah. Another series you were in was My Babysitter's a Vampire.
Yeah, that's right. It runs on Teletoon here, and it's on the Disney Channel in the States. So it's actually, it just went into its second season, so it's become a popular kids show. I guess it's a tween show is what they would call it. That was fun. The greatest thing about that was that it was directed by Bruce MacDonald. And if anyone knows him, he's a pretty well-known Canadian director who's mm-hmm. done things like Hardcore Logo and Highway 61, all the different Roadkill, a lot of indie Canadian movies, and he's one of our gems. So to work with him was quite something. It was fun. You know, there was a lot of kids on the show, and it was about animals coming back to life, coming, you know, back from the grave. And I play the ornate father of one of the teenage girls who's terrified by her dead dog coming back to life.
And we got the two kings, the King and Breakout Kings.
Yeah, we did all the kings right in a row.
Yeah.
The first one, King, that's a new Canadian show that airs on Showcase, and they've also just gone into their second season. And that one I was really excited about because it was just one of those ones where I went to the audition and I thought, you know, I should have this part. This part is perfect for me. It mm-hmm. would be just a lot of fun to do and a great challenge. And I ended up playing a guy named Roy Gilbert, and it's the very first episode of King. And it's about my daughter, Lori Gilbert, who's a child actor. She gets kidnapped, and, so it's about the investigation to find my daughter. But I'm actually considered a suspect at one point because they're not sure if I'm her real father, and they think I may be using her for, I'm a washed-up pro golf player, and I'm kind of draining all my daughter's funds to try to restart my golf career. But it was a lot of fun. I got to do some golfing in it and got interrogated by the lead actress who plays Jessica King, the head detective. Mm-hmm. And that was about a four day shoot that I did here in Toronto. And cool. Real great show. Also, the director on that was an acting hero of mine, actually, Clark Johnson, who is from the show Homicide, Life on the Street. That's an old Barry Levinson show that I kind of grew up watching when I was first becoming an actor. And he's also a director now, and I got to work with him, which was quite a treat.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and then Breakout Kings, the next one, that was kind of right after that, and that is an American show that was shooting here in Toronto. And so that was interesting because, you know, you can really notice right away how much bigger the budget is on a show like that.
Right.
They've got a really big cast, and again, some cast members are actors I've been watching on shows like The Wire, and I really enjoy their work, so to work with some of those guys was great. But that show is, just the way the show's run is just so different than your average Canadian show. Mm-hmm. The director was a guy, he's the original cinematographer from The Sopranos. Sorry, I was just getting a beep there.
Oh, okay.
The director, so he worked on The Sopranos and now is a director, so it was really working with a high caliber of cast and crew. I play a prison guard who gets kidnapped at the opening of the show in a very violent takedown when these prisoners escape and they take me hostage, also to get revenge on me because I wasn't the nicest guy in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the other cool thing about that is my name is Officer Dirk Ferris, and that is my mother's maiden name. So
oh, wow.
Maybe the only time I get to play with my mother's last name.
That's cool.
But yeah, that was great. And then, you know, the only thing about that, which often happens, especially in television, because it's all about the story. It's got to move really quick. And, you know, most characters are there just to move the story along. And I had, you know, my big scene where I've been taken hostage, I'm tied, I've been beaten up and shot in the stomach, and I have this big scene where I beg and plead for my life, and then they take me down. That whole scene got cut in the end. So when I watched it on TV and had told all my friends and was waiting for the big scene, it never happened. And, you know, they've only got these days 42 minutes to pack it all in, and, yeah. And that just wasn't really necessary to tell the whole story. So, but the experience of doing it was really the best part of it, for sure.
And you were recently in a feature film that I believe is it still in post-production? You played the role of a lead cop?
That's right, yeah. So it's the remake for Total Recall, which a lot of people may remember from 1990, with starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. So yeah, this is the updated 2012 version. And yeah, for sure, that's the biggest thing I've ever been involved in, and exciting beyond belief. It was, you know, a $250 million budget movie. I think it even went over that, which is, you know, the biggest thing that's ever been shot in Toronto. So it was pretty huge. It took up almost all of Toronto's facilities for much of the summer.
Wow.
We were here from, you know, the end of May right through till the end of September. So. Yeah, it was huge. They used the big studio down at the new Pinewood Studio, which is now the biggest soundstage in North America. So we're starting to get a lot of bigger movies in because of it. But it was great. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those ones where I went out with every other guy in Toronto to play some of the cop parts, and I was lucky enough to get the role of the lead federal police officer. So I kind of am in charge of a squadron of these paratroopers that are after the main guy. So the role that was played by Arnold Schwarzenegger is now Colin Farrell,
mm-hmm.
who finds out he's not who he really thought he was, and our evil government wants to take him out. So we're given that task. So a lot of, you know, a lot of guns, a lot of running, a lot of shooting, blowing stuff up, yelling orders, and making Colin Farrell run for his life. So that was pretty exciting. But just working with, you know, with that level of the actors, that crew, with the special effects, and, you know, every day we had to be trained on the guns and safety techniques, everything involved in a big production like that. But it was quite mind blowing. I mean, every day you'd show up and there'd be, you know, 200 extras. And you'd be on a soundstage that had been transformed into a futuristic Chinatown, you know, with full rain inside. You know, it's like a rainstorm inside. There was like moats running through the entire stage with, you know, actual people rowing by you in boats, and it was quite something.
Wow.
So yeah, very, very exciting stuff, and I can't wait to see how it all turns out.
Yeah, it's great when a big film like that comes to town. Now, you've been doing some roles on kind of both sides of the law. Is there one that you prefer more than the other?
I don't know. Yeah, it seems lately, like this past couple of years, I've usually been on the wrong side of the law. I don't know what's that saying exactly, but those parts they're a lot of fun, because the other thing I always try to do is put myself in that situation, and no bad guy really thinks they're bad, so it just makes it more interesting with the moral dilemmas and why you're doing what you're doing, and you know, just playing it for the complete truth of it, and not questioning whether you're good or bad when you do it. I mean, I can look back on it and say, okay, well, of course, in this episode, I'm the bad guy, but you can't really think that way when you're doing it. So, yeah, I don't know. They've been fun, but I look forward to maybe switching it up in the year ahead and getting the hero parts.
As long as in prep for those bad guy parts, you're not out doing anything bad for real. So
no, it's all just research from the comfort of my own home.
There you go. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about the plays you've been involved in recently.
Sounds good.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back with Canadian actor Jesse Bond. I hear on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. I've read that you're into, you know, walking, hiking, swimming, things like that. I wanted to ask you about this. You've done some more extreme sports. You've climbed one of the highest mountains in North America and also ran a triathlon. Tell us about some of these ventures.
Yeah, outside of my acting, I really enjoy being active and being out in the outdoors. So whenever I can, I try to get away on trips and keep myself busy with other things. So yeah, one of them was a few years ago, I found out about this mountain climbing expedition through a girl I knew. It was actually her husband who led the expedition. Hmm. And there was a spot left on the team that was going. So I joined up, and we went to Mexico, starting in Mexico City, and then from there we worked our way up to El Pico de Orizaba, is what it's called, and that is it's the third highest mountain in North America. So we started off in a little village called Talachachuca, and there we did some training in the kind of low-level areas just to get used to the harnesses and ropes and crampons, things like that, and then worked our way up to the base camp, which was at 14,000 feet. And so by then, you're slowly acclimatizing. So that's part of the reason that we took it slow. It took us about a week and a half to get to that point, just to get really used to everything.
Right.
And then you spend a few days in the base camp, and then from there, it's you do the summit kind of in about a 12-hour period where you go up. Now you're into the ice field, which there isn't much of now. I think now the actual ice is gone. So I kind of got it at the last possible time. And because of it, there's a very interesting thing where the ice melts and refreezes every day. So it was a lot more dangerous at that time. There are these things called penitentes, which are just like kind of like stalagmites. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever to fall, it's there's these things everywhere, and you're constantly having to navigate through them and be aware of them and, never lose your balance. But anyway, that was, it was quite a trip. There's a lot more I could tell you about it, because there was some problems along the way, part of it being food poisoning the night before.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We had fog roll in and all kinds of stuff, but it, in the end, it added to the adventure. And there at the top, there's an old volcano that you can look down into, and it was pretty exhilarating seeing the sun rise above the clouds. So, it was pure cloud cover, overcast below, but we could see the entire sunrise while we were up there. So, yeah, that was something else, and it was definitely something I'll never forget and would like to do more of. And then, quickly just to get to the triathlon, that was something. I have some friends that are into that stuff, one in particular who is an ultra runner. And he's kind of been inspiring in that way to get me a little bit into running, which I had never done before. And then some other friends of ours decided to host their own triathlon. They live out in Prince Edward County in eastern Ontario. Mm-hmm. And I figured that was the thing that was going to get me training for that. So the swimming and the biking part I had down. I could ride the bike all day long. And swimming, I do a lot of quite regularly, so I felt pretty good with that stuff. But the running was something brand new to me, so I had to, I only started a month before, which probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But by the time the actual event arrived, I felt good and strong, and the 10K run almost took me out, but I made it and was pretty happy with my time, and I ended up doing it the next year and the year after that. So
yeah, very cool.
Three of them now. Yeah,
pretty wild stuff. So you're not sitting around relaxing when you're in between acting gigs, huh?
No, I try not to.
Right on.
I definitely keep moving.
Good stuff. Let's talk about theater. Let's talk about the stage. What's the pressure like there, in the live scenario as compared to filming? You know, when you have the option to reshoot bad takes maybe and things like that, and I guess, live, obviously you don't.
Yeah, sure. And that's part of the attraction to that is that, it is that immediate thing that you can't get from film. You know, film, you can do it over and over, and you've got often a bunch of board crew members waiting for lunch, whereas on stage, you've got, you know, a live paying audience, you know, right there in front of you, and you feel them always, you know, whether they're into it or not. And, you know, often that's what's going to drive the performance. That's why every single night it's different, because you've got different people out there every night. Mm-hmm. As much as the cast may be a little different too, but it's really the audience that you're playing off of. So that's what I've always loved about that. And every night is different. I've been on stage sometimes where, you know, an entire piece of a scene gets dropped out, and you realize that if we don't get that information back out to the audience, no one's going to understand the rest of this play. And, you know, you're having to circle back and hope that everyone can get back on track with it. And there are moments of pure fear and panic, but so amazingly, you always get through them. I haven't yet been up there when the whole bottom dropped out. It's been close, but never quite. So yeah, it's exhilarating. It really is. And when it really works, it works like nothing else. And when it doesn't work, it can be a little daunting, but you know, you forge ahead and know that the next time you go out there, you've got to do it a little better. So it definitely keeps you on your toes.
And your most recent play, that was Speed the Plow, this past summer.
Yep.
And that was with you co-starred with Jeff. Or it was directed by Jeff Seymour, who you co-starred with. Was he was also in the play?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was the director as well as actor. Mm-hmm. And the other actor is Vanessa Antoine, who people may know from Being Erica. She played Erica's best friend in the Canadian show. So it was quite the cast to work with, and Jeff's definitely, I'd say, the best director I've ever worked with as far as, well, anything goes, really. Mm-hmm. And because he was also my acting teacher for a long time, it was pretty amazing to be on stage with your acting mentor. So that was definitely the biggest challenge of my life, because, you know, as much as I've done some theater, to do David Mamet and to do it with those actors, it was something else. You know, we trained long and hard for it, and it was, I don't know if we'll ever do anything like it, because David Mamet is just nonstop. I mean, the dialogue just flows forth like it's coming out of a volcano, and once it starts, it never lets up. And there's a lot of twists and turns along the way, and you can't miss a single beat, or the whole thing comes off the rails, which, you know, luckily never happened.
Hmm.
So that was one of my fondest memories on the stage, for sure.
And then the Lieutenant of Inishmore, I believe through much of that, you were hanging upside down. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was, that was another first for sure. I played the part of James, who is a Northern Irish drug dealer who gets caught by a guy who's part of a faction of the IRA, and they're not too happy about anyone dealing drugs to the school children of Ireland. So I'm taken as an example. Now, keeping in mind that all of this is a comedy, albeit a very dark black comedy,
mm-hmm.
but while I'm rolled out on stage, hanging upside down, and the scene opens with him tearing out one of my toenails, and I'm shirtless, you know, covered in blood, hanging upside down, and believe it or not, there's a lot of laughs in the scene, because it kind of works its way back that, you know, as he's about to, you know, do me in entirely and actually slice off one of my nipples, he gets a phone call that I overhear about his cat that's sick, and I, on the spot, hatch a plan that I know how to help his cat, and he loves his cat more than anything in the world, so because I help him with his cat, he actually cuts me loose and lets me go. So, yeah, that was something else. Pretty much every night I was just wrecked by the end of that one.
And another play that you were in was How Does a Drug Deal Become a Decent Third Date?
Yeah, How Does a Drug Deal Become a Decent Third Date?
Okay. I thought maybe you had spelling wrong there, drug deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, it is. That was part of, it was a play written by a Toronto playwright here, And it eventually became, we took it on the Fringe circuit, which is the Fringe Festival, you know, runs in a lot of cities all around North America.
Right.
And so, you know, part of it is that the title, usually you try to draw people into these Fringe festivals because there's so much competition with some kind of crazy title. And I think that was
that's a crazy title.
The reason to be on. Yeah. But it also is based on reality. The girl who wrote it, a lot of this was actually based on dates she had been on, and this was actually a third date with a guy who took her on a drug buy. In the middle of the date, he realized that, you know, he had to score, and left her waiting in the car in a questionable neighborhood while he went and took care of business.
Wow.
So, of course, we took the comedic take on all of that, and I played three different ex-boyfriends of the main girl. So we hear the story of this girl, and I'm on and off stage about 17 different times, and each time coming back as a different character. So it was a
wow.
lot of juggling, but it was amazing. Again, it was one of my favorites because I got to create these three characters from scratch and mm-hmm. Do a lot of really whacked out stuff. And we got to go on the road. We went to Minneapolis, and we did it in Hamilton, and we did it a couple times in Toronto, and then we did it in New York City, which was
always
a dream. So. Yeah, that was a fun one.
I just wanted to ask you what advice you might give to our dramatic arts students here at the University of Windsor that are in their final year. Any advice to breaking into the biz or what they should consider?
Actually, I'm working with a bunch of Windsor graduates right now. I'm working on a play right now, and all of them went to Windsor, and
cool.
they're a fine group. I did it a little differently because I took my training many, many different places, and for me it was I got into acting just a little bit later, so I had to find what worked for me right away. I felt like I didn't have the time to go back and start from scratch, so I always say that you got to find what works for you, because there's a million different teachers and classes, and even when you get out of school you'll be accosted with, you know, everyone trying to show you the greatest method of acting, and they'll all try to sell you on it. So
sure.
I always say, before you go in on any of these things, you know, always make sure you do your research beforehand on who these teachers are, what they've done, and go and audit classes. You know, anywhere, any city that has an acting class, you should be able to audit it. If you can't, it's stay away from it. Because you want to be able to get in there, watch what's done, and then decide if it's going to work for you.
Right.
And then in terms of, you know, when you get out of school and get into the big wide world, you know, as soon as you can, you got to just start doing your own stuff. There's always going to be independent films, student films, community theater, and then, you know, nowadays we've got a wonderful thing called the internet and YouTube and everything else. So there's no reason not to be making your own shorts and filming your own scenes and getting stuff out there as much as you can, even if it's just for the sheer practice of it, to get used to it. So, you know, to learn every aspect of the business, you're going to be way ahead of the average actor who only knows how to, you know, read from a script. So I would say that. And then outside of just the training and what you can do is that you've got to have a life outside of acting and make sure that you, you know, have other interests, because no one's really interested in an actor who only acts. It's just, it's not going to be interesting. Because what they want is you to bring to the roles what makes you unique as an individual person, not trying to do what some other actor did. And you're only going to be able to do that if you have your own interest in a life outside of it. So that, I think, is a big one. And along the way, just make sure you enjoy the journey of it. You know, you can't always just imagine the end result of being rich, famous, awards, or whatever it is you imagine. But it's just the whole trip of it. Just learn to enjoy every step of the way.
Great advice. I'm sure listeners appreciate that. Students, where can listeners check out more of your work and find out more information about you? I'm imagining IMDb's. One of the best places.
IMDb is, the big one, and anything else, you know, by Googling my name, you know, who knows what will come up.
All right, appreciate you being on the show again, Jesse.
All right, well, I appreciate it too, Big JD. It was a lot of fun.
All right, take care.
Okay, you too, Matt.
Well, it's always great to talk to Jesse and find out what this fine Canadian actor is up to, and it's great that he shares what it's like doing what he does for a living, especially because the film industry in the local Windsor, Detroit area has really been making headway. And that's it this week. I'll see everyone next Wednesday, same time, same place, right here on CJAM 99.1 FM Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. I'm Big JD.